40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with the most decorated Olympian of all time. Happy 31st birthday to American swimmer Michael Phelps, who has just qualified for his fifth Olympic Games. Joining us now with more details is VOA sports reporter Ben Cento. Sporty Olympic greetings, Ben.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Michael Phelps will be the first male American swimmer to compete at five Olympics, dating all the way back to the 2000 Summer Games in Sydney, Australia, when he was just 15 years old. Now let's dive into Phelps' numerous records. The aptly named Flying Fish is currently the world record holder in five categories, including the 100-meter and 200-meter butterfly, as well as the 4x100-meter and the 4x200-meter freestyle relay, and finally, the 4x100-meter medley. In his previous four Olympic appearances, Phelps has won a grand total of 18 gold medals, two silver medals, and two bronze medals, totaling 22, more than any other Olympian ever in any sport. One might think that making an Olympic team is just part of the routine for Michael Phelps after all those races, all those wins, all those years. However, it seemed like qualifying Wednesday night was just a little sweeter for the American swimmer. This will more than likely be the final Olympics for Phelps, who, as Sonny mentioned, is celebrating his 31st birthday. Phelps says, and I quote, "I've been in this sport for a long time, and just being able to finish how I want to is so important." Meanwhile, on the women's side, 19-year-old and Washington area native Katie Ledecky is set to compete in her second Olympics. Her first was 4 years ago in London, England. Katie won her first and only gold medal so far in London in the 800-meter freestyle at the age of 15, but she is the current world record holder in three categories, the 400, 800, and 1500-meter freestyle, as well as a nine-time world champion. She's also the female winner of the last three World Swimmer of the Year awards. Experts are predicting Katie Ledecky can make a splash at the Rio Olympics and win gold in several categories this year. I'm VOA's Ben Cento. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ben. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check out my page today, Thursday, you'll see a photo of birthday boy and Olympic swimming star Michael Phelps in the pool holding up five fingers to symbolize qualifying for his fifth Olympics. Meanwhile, the U.S. Olympic track and field trials get underway Friday in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. The top three finishers in each event earn a spot on Team USA and a much-coveted trip to the Rio Olympics in August. Besides a berth on the USA's Olympic team, athletes can also win prize money for top performances. First place gets $10,000, and the money is awarded down to $1,000 for seventh place. Now, one of the most emotional stories will certainly come in the men's 110 meters hurdles event. The reigning Olympic champion, Aries Merritt, is hoping to make it to Rio with his sister's kidney. That's right, the 30-year-old Merritt had a kidney transplant last September. His sister, Latoya Hubbard, donated one of her kidneys to help her ailing brother. In Latoya's words, and I quote, "Aries, accept this gift from God. I'll be a part of you for the rest of your life." For his part, Aries Merritt says returning to the track after the kidney transplant surgery was like relearning to walk again. Olympic hurdles champion Aries Merritt, one of the athletes to watch at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, which run from July 1st to July 10th in Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, by the way, has a passionate fan base when it comes to athletics. One of the city's nicknames is Tracktown USA. Meanwhile, USA Basketball officially introduced its 12-man roster for the Rio Olympics earlier this week in New York City. The players selected are, in alphabetical order, Carmelo Anthony of the New York Knicks, Harrison Barnes of the Golden State Warriors, Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls, DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors, Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, Kyrie Irving of the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers, DeAndre Jordan of the Los Angeles Clippers, Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors, and Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors. The U.S. men's Olympic basketball team is once again led by Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski of Duke University, who is aiming to guide the team to a third consecutive gold medal after Olympic titles at London 2012 and Beijing 2008. Coach K will be hoping for additional leadership from Kevin Durant, the Oklahoma City star who was named the NBA's most valuable player in 2014. Durant won Olympic gold at London 2012, and he says the objective for Rio 2016 is clear.
To bring back gold, anything less than that is, you know, we don't want it. You know, that's just our mentality has always been like that. So we still got to put the work in. We can't just go out there and expect to win. We got to put the work in, and everybody's excited for it. We're not trying to be 2012, 08, or the Dream Team, or any team in between that. We're just trying to be us and come back with a gold.
Kevin Durant is the most coveted free agent during this NBA offseason. The league's free agent signing period begins July 1st, and Durant is already being pursued by a handful of clubs. Another top free agent is Joakim Noah, who's currently with the Chicago Bulls. VOA sports reporter Tati Abeje joins us now with some fun facts about Noah. Sporty greetings, Tati.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 31-year-old Joakim Noah is the son of former tennis star Yannick Noah, and he's the grandson of former Cameroonian football player Zachary Noah. Noah is part French, part Cameroonian, and part Swedish on his mother's side. Noah is one of the big-name free agents in this year's NBA free agent class. He has spent his first 9 seasons with the Chicago Bulls, where he was a 2-time All-Star and was Defensive Player of the Year. He is expected to sign a big contract with his hometown team, the New York Knicks. He will be joining star player Carmelo Anthony, who is on the USA basketball team, Derrick Rose, his former teammate on the Bulls, and the young player Kristaps Porzingis. I'm VOA's Tati Abeje. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Tati. Tati, I'm guessing just based on his interesting international background, Joakim Noah must have some great stamps on his passport.
Yes, he's eligible to be on the French team, the American team, and on the Swedish team.
Wow, take your pick.
Yeah, exactly. But his heart, it belongs with the French team.
Okay. Bonjour.
Oui, oui.
All right. Meanwhile, a tall teenager from South Sudan was a top pick in the recent NBA draft. Reporter Ian Bior tells us more.
Thon Maker, a 19-year-old South Sudanese basketball player, was selected as the 10th overall pick in the NBA draft last week. Maker, a graduate of Canada's Orangeville High School, will play for the Milwaukee Bucks next season, making him one of just a handful of South Sudanese to make it to the NBA. David Noor is a promising 14-year-old basketball player from Omaha, Nebraska, who attended NBA professional basketball player Lowell Deng's Invitational Basketball Camp in New Jersey earlier last week. He's working hard to follow in Deng's and McCare's footsteps. He says he knows that it will take hard work and focus if he wants to become a professional basketball player, but the odds against him are not slowing him down.
Every time I practice, I think about that. So I work hard as I can, 100%, 110%. Yeah, so I don't really worry about any of that.
Quang Delon, a South Sudanese native who lives in the western U.S. city of Omaha, Nebraska, volunteers his time coaching young players like Noor. Delon traveled to the All-South Sudanese camp in New Jersey to help mentor the players. He says basketball has transformed many South Sudanese young players in his community of Omaha by keeping them off the streets while at the same time encouraging them to pursue an education.
I think basketball is a very emergent part of our community, you know, and I think basketball is slowly growing into a very strong part of our culture. Naturally, we have all the intangibles, you know, when it comes to just intelligence, when it comes to length and athleticism, and then when it comes to passion, which is something that you can teach, which is we have a ton of young South Sudanese people that are willing to put the time in being good basketball players. And with the right skills and instructions, you know, with the right relationship with people that have done it, like Lou Wall, I think the sky's the limit. You know, I think we can easily be a powerhouse within the basketball world.
Delon says South Sudanese are naturally built, physically and mentally, to be exceptional basketball players.
We're very tall people. We're very athletic people, very smart people. In the basketball world, when you have those, the rest of it is just hard work and time. To where, with the right training and the commitment level from a personal level, I'll take the chances of South Sudanese kid kind of twisting those odds in their favor over anybody else.
Camp in New Jersey only lasted 1 week, but Delon says the bond that the players formed and the lessons they learned will last a lifetime.
You know, our lives are so interconnected, you know, that just my situation in Omaha alone, our guys, the Sudanese guys there, have been able to get some of the best basketball training, you know, through my personal sacrifice without having to worry about paying a dime. And because of that, you know, their skill level combined with their athleticism is changing the way basketball is being played in the state of Nebraska.
High school basketball player Deng Gok, who attended Luol Deng's camp, has received a scholarship to play for Duke University, an NCAA Division I school in North Carolina. Gok will play with Duke in 2017. Duke is one of America's powerhouse universities for basketball. Another camp participant, Janoob Shar, has secured a scholarship to play for Blair Academy, the same high school where Luol Deng played basketball and paved the way for his career in the NBA. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
South African golf star Ernie Els recently returned to competition at the Quicken Loans National Tournament just outside Washington, D.C. Ernie shot a 12 under par, 272, to finish five shots behind the winner, Billy Hurley III of the USA. Ernie's fourth-place finish was worth a paycheck of $276,000. My VOA colleague Bill Werkinger caught up with Ernie Els during the tournament, and Bill asked Ernie, what's it like playing at Congressional in Bethesda after winning the U.S. Open on the same course in 1997? Do you think about it when you're playing, or is it that then and this is now?
No, definitely. I mean, you can't but help yourself, you know, thinking back. You know, and I've got my same caddy, Ricky Robbins, who carried me back in 97. So, you know, 20 years, there's been a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, in the game. But, you know, winning a major at a special place like Congressional, playing here again, you just keep thinking back on shots. Almost every single hole, there's a moment, you know, back in 97 where we can remember still, and we spoke about that today, and that it's kind of nice to draw from. And you know, I've had a very tough year. You know, I haven't played very well, so I need to start playing well. So I feel my commitment is there to play good, and the swing felt good. So good start for today. It's amazing how the golf course is drained, and the superintendent and his team has taken a lot of credit. I mean, they've done a hell of a job to get us out there to play, and the course is perfect. You know, it's not too wet, but you know the ball's going to hold on the green, so you can play quite aggressively.
Ernie, any thoughts about golf returning to the Olympics this summer in Rio? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. To have our sport back into the Olympics over 100 years is just amazing, you know. So, you know, obviously, unfortunately, there's a certain virus that's hanging in the air. And, you know, a lot of our golfers are at that age now where they want to have families. So there's a lot of concern going around, you know, on tour, you know, with these certain players at this age where they want to have families. So it's quite a concern for them. I wish I could have qualified because I would have gone, because, you know, we passed that stage in our lives. And but it is what it is. But it's wonderful and exciting to see golf in the Olympics.
Ernie, you seem to really enjoy communicating on social media. On your website, ernieells.com, you do a lot of blogging and you also do a lot of tweeting. Could you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I'm kind of trying to stay relevant, eh? I mean, there's quite a few things that happen. You know, I kind of read what the other guys do and, you know, say, and I kind of comment on that. Sometimes I come out with, you know, stronger comments here and there, but it's just basically how we feel. You know, it's a tool to use to get our voice out there on certain issues, if there is any issues. You know, I like to needle the guys in South Africa about the rugby. You know, I've had a team that I've been supporting for many years that was really bad, and they're starting to win a lot of matches now. So I give a lot of stick there, and I give some stick to my guys on tour here. Yeah. So we have a good time of bantering each other, and, you know, just telling it the way it is, the way I see it.
Ernie, this is being recorded for the Voice of America going to Africa. Is there anything you'd like to say to your fans in South Africa, Africa, and the world?
Well, I'm no statesman, but I'm just a golfer. But I'll tell you, I'm very glad that the South African rugby team won today. We had a three-game series against Ireland, and they pulled it through. So I think that was the basis, that was the foundation of my good golf today.
There's a guy who's played some good golf over the years. That's 46-year-old, four-time major champion, Ernie Els of South Africa. And Ernie was talking with my VOA colleague, Bill Werkinger, at Congressional Country Club in Bethesda, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we got three athletes that are trending, one for a big loss, one for a big win, and one for a big move. So we'll start with that loss, which was Garbiñe Muguruza, the number two ranked tennis player, women's tennis player in the world, of course, just beat Serena Williams at the French Open, lost in the second round of Wimbledon straight sets just under an hour to Jana Sepelova of Slovakia. She's ranked 124th in the world. So a huge loss. A lot of people on social media questioning that win at the French Open, saying, was it that Garbiñe Muguruza was that good? Or did she just play a Serena Williams who's having an off day? And maybe this is kind of the slump, the sophomore slump, so to speak, after winning the Grand Slam. A lot of people noting, too, Angelique Kerber, who beat Serena at the Australian Open this year, she went in to play the French Open. She lost in the first round. So there might be some fatigue from winning that tournament, the previous tournament, going to the next one and trying to win it. I know that I think Serena is the only player in recent times who has done the so-called Channel Slam, where she's won the French Open and then gone on to win Wimbledon. It's a very difficult thing to do, kind of a mini achievement within the hunt for the calendar Grand Slam. So maybe not a total surprise that Muguruza would not win Wimbledon, but very surprising that she's out so early and one that social media is seizing on.
With her ouster, Andrew, does that make things a lot easier for Serena?
Makes things a lot easier for Venus, because Venus Williams, who's the eighth seed, is in Muguruza's quarter. So Muguruza's out. There are several other seeded players who went out today in that quarter. So it really opens things up for Venus Williams. I think she may actually be the highest seed now in that quarter, or among the highest seeds. So could see Venus making a run at it and maybe going and playing Serena down the line. We'll see if that happens.
Okay, you said big loss, big win, big move. How about that big move?
How about that big move? Well, that's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of course, playing for the Swedish team. We just saw him playing there in the Euro Cup. Well, he's announced that he's changing for club football. He's going to Man U, Manchester United, and he did it on Instagram. He put up a picture and he wrote, and I quote, "Time to let the world know my next destination is Manchester United. Hashtag I am coming." So big move for him, one that's captured all of football fans around the world. And the fact that he announced this on Instagram, too, and that's already been, you know, just in this photo here that I see of it, over 33,000 likes. And I think that was pretty shortly after he posted it. It's probably been more now. Lots of talk about that. I love this parody account that says, they tweet out and they say, "Clubs don't announce Zlatan, Zlatan announces clubs." So it was pretty interesting. Rather than the club coming out and making that announcement, he comes out and says, "I'm making this move." So lots of talk on social media. His name, just Zlatan, not even the last name, just the first name, is a trending topic worldwide on social media right now. It's got over 180,000 tweets as a lot of people react to this news. Man U fans thrilled. Others, not so much, or they're just saying, you know what, you can have him. We don't want him anyway, trying to play it off cool.
Makes things interesting in the Premier League next year, Andrew.
Absolutely, and I'm sure this is not the last we're going to hear from him. He's, you know, has a big social media presence. He's a big topic of conversation on social media. So as the Premier League comes up this season, we're going to hear, I'm sure, his name mentioned quite a lot on social media. I think he'll be a trending topic on more than one occasion.
Okay, we've had the big move, the big loss. How about that big win?
The big win for Michael Phelps qualifying for his fifth Olympics. He's the first U.S. male swimmer to do so. And the social media picture we see over and over, just about every tweet I saw had this picture, him in the pool, and he's got his hand up with the five, just the five fingers up in the air. So really great achievement for him. Fewer events than he's going to do at this Olympics than he has done in previous Olympics, but he'll still be competing there at the age of 31. And today, incidentally, is his 31st birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael Phelps.
So a lot of social media attention on him. Also social media attention on a different athlete who qualified for Rio after Michael Phelps at his press conference said that Katie Ledecky is like him back in the day. Now, Katie Ledecky is a swimmer who she has the world records in the 400, the 800, and the 1500 meter free. So she's a big contender. And with Michael Phelps giving her really high praise, saying she's like me back in the day, I'm going to look for her to make some big moves in Rio, maybe win some medals. She won in London. She won a gold medal there, and looks like she may do so again in Rio.
Another similarity between Ledecky and Phelps, both kind of Washington area athletes. Phelps from the Baltimore, Maryland area, and Ledecky from a suburb just outside Washington, which moves me to my trivia question for today, Andrew. What can you give me one of the nicknames for Michael Phelps? And I'll tell you, it is linked with his hometown of Baltimore.
Oh,
there's
gosh.
There's my clue. The Baltimore Bullet.
The Baltimore Bullet, okay. I was going to go with something more aquatic. I know that he's, you know, been compared to a dolphin or to, you know, kind of one of those big fish.
In fact, that is his other nickname, I think, the Flying Fish.
The Flying Fish. Yeah, I can see that for sure. That makes a lot of sense. So that, you know, that Flying Fish is a huge topic of conversation on social media. And he's going to be, you know, all eyes are going to be on him in Rio and Katie Ledecky and these other athletes. And we're starting to see that ramp up as they're qualifying, you know, Gabby Douglas, as she tries to win another gold medal in the gymnastics competition. We have Shannon Biles, who's another athlete, a gymnast, who they're saying could be the next Gabby Douglas. So just a lot of these athlete stories are being shared on social media, a lot of the excitement for these athletes, a lot of the fans of these athletes, and a lot of just attention. It's not often that they have their sports watched. I don't know how many people watch you know, the swimming competitions when they're doing world championships and those kind of things, but everybody is watching the Olympics, and they're watching the qualifying to lead up to that. So that's why these are starting to become topics of conversation on social media. These athletes' names are popping up as they're qualifying. So we'll see. It's going to be very exciting for the next few weeks. We're going to hear that Olympic conversation on social media continue to ramp up in the crescendo August 5th when it kicks off. And it's going to be a fun couple of weeks in Rio. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about on the social media front. Maybe some of the athletes, too, you know, posting pictures and things. We'll see how they use social media down there.
Rio 2016, the excitement is building. Thank you, Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the June 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Zimbabwean communities in the Yanga district will be able to construct facilities to dramatically improve their health and sanitation, thanks to assistance from the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and its Community Water Supply, Sanitation, Hygiene, and Natural Resources Management, also known as CWASH program. In early June, at the Ruronquo District Development Fund Rest Camp, Robert Shawatama, the Provincial Water and Sanitation Subcommittee Chairperson for Manicaland, officially handed over to the people of Nyanga District $40,000 in materials to construct or rehabilitate 83 boreholes, 45 pumps to extract water, 105 drinking troughs for animals, and 102 latrines. Chairperson Shawatama also presided over the graduation of 18 community latrine and water pan builders and 16 village pump mechanics, who had been trained by Development Aid from People to People, or DAP Zimbabwe, with funding from USAID. With guidance from the District Development Fund, these builders and mechanics will assist the communities in constructing and repairing their water infrastructure and ensure long-term sustainability. In total, USAID's CWASH activities will provide safe and clean water to 2,400 households and 6 schools in the district. The communities of Nyanga North have long grappled with access to safe and clean water due to frequent breakdowns of boreholes. Some families travel for 10 kilometers to access safe water, while others sleep queuing for water at the boreholes. Many boreholes in the district are being chained and locked as communities try to safeguard limited water resources. Others have introduced strict water rationing, with households only allowed to collect 2 20-liter buckets per day, regardless of the household size. USAID is proud to support Nyanga District to improve access to safe, potable water, said USAID Zimbabwe Acting Mission Director Bruce Abrams. With this newly acquired technical expertise and building materials, these communities are now able to protect themselves against waterborne diseases.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impuga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.